President Trump and the future of American manufacturing. Well, the day is almost here. Donald J. Trump will be inaugurated as the 45th President of the United States of America at noon on January 20, 2017. Trump's campaign was so fraught with surprises that it's hard to imagine his presidency will be any different. Whether you're expecting the country to be made great again with a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage, or for it to descend into a nightmarish hellscape reminiscent of Biff Tannen's version of Hill Valley, we can all agree that the next 4 years will certainly be interesting. The American manufacturing sector will be watching Trump's presidency with particular interest. We've already seen suggestions that President-elect Trump was responsible for Ford's decision to invest in Michigan over Mexico, though that inference seems dubious. On the international stage, China has been doing some saber-rattling of its own in anticipation of a potential trade war. So, what can manufacturers expect from the Trump administration? Industry thought leaders debate policy options. Frost Sullivan's Manufacturing Leadership Council recently held an online panel discussion regarding the industrial priorities and potential policies for U.S. manufacturing under the Trump administration. The panelists made a number of predictions about what the Trump administration will do, as well as offering suggestions for what it should do. I don't see any reason to suspect the Trump administration will not continue to focus on individual deals, said Robert Atkinson, president and chief executive of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. We've seen just a couple of those announced in the last week, where individual firms agreed to do something because of pressure by the Trump administration. I think the administration will likely continue to identify manufacturing firms who they believe should do more output in the U.S. and put public pressure, a sort of game and shame on them, if you will, to get them to perform, Atkinson continued. They've been doing that since the election, and I don't see any reason why that's not going to continue. Whether that's going to be effective or not is a different question. Clearly, I think they're going to engage in much tougher trade enforcement than the Obama administration, particularly with China, which is an egregious mercantilist player and whose policies are clearly detrimental to U.S. manufacturing. Jerry Jasinowski, former president of the National Association of Manufacturers and member of the Board of Advisors at the Manufacturing Institute, emphasized the importance of ensuring that U.S. manufacturers, particularly SMEs, are using the latest technologies. The Trump administration has to take a checklist, go down all of its agenda items and say, are we really using the latest technology as best we can? The federal government ought to be spending far more on many aspects of technology than it is right now. It ought to be putting money into the kind of programs and some of the infrastructure that Obama put together to try to get technology out to small manufacturers. John Bernardin, co-founder and past vice chairman of the Smart Manufacturing Leadership Coalition and former director of corporate affairs at Rockwell Automation, agreed that the Trump administration needs to focus on and incentivize manufacturing technology, but he also emphasized the importance of forming a grassroots manufacturing initiative. We have about 34,000 mid-sized manufacturing firms left in America. As Robert Atkinson said, many of our different industries have disappeared or are in desperate or dying conditions. But of those 34,000, we still do have some strategic strengths, and finding those strengths and doubling down on those mid-sized manufacturer is where I would like to see us make our emphasis. What would such a plan look like? Bernadette offered the following suggestion to the Trump administration. Financing is everything. We've had, according to the Manufacturing Alliance, a few years now of CapEx malaise. So the paradox really is that despite this huge potential for productivity increases, top-line growth and firm technology, we just don't see CapEx moving in America. That would be my suggestion to Trump, a package focused not on infrastructure so much as directly giving a shot in the arm to the mid-sized manufacturers, the small manufacturers who are ready to scale up, as well as the large manufacturers like Ford, who want to jump into the factory of the future. Peter Holicky, Dow Chemical Senior Vice President of Manufacturing and Engineering, Environment, Health and Safety Operations, and Emergency Services and Security, offered an outsider's perspective, advising the Trump administration to consider the educational needs of the manufacturing workforce. I come from Germany, Holicky said. I've been here in the U.S. for 3 years leading Dow's manufacturing. When I come to the U.S., what I see is a fairly strong college and university system that really educates some of the very best people around the world. I don't see the same emphasis on craftspeople, and I don't see the emphasis on vocational education. If we want to be on top of the house when it comes to manufacturing, we need a much stronger crafts capability and vocational capability than we do today. President Trump and U.S. manufacturing. For a broader perspective, the contract manufacturing marketplace manufacturing.com has released a report entitled How Will President Trump's Policies Affect U.S. Manufacturing? The report is based on a survey of more than 45,000 American manufacturing professionals encompassing both buyers, original equipment manufacturers, as well as suppliers, small to mid-sized manufacturers. According to the report, there is broad-based support for the trade, job and immigration policies that Trump proposed during his campaign. While there is some skepticism from those who invest in offshore sourcing, both buyers and suppliers agree that these new policy directions will have positive impacts on U.S. manufacturing. In addition, when it comes to the relationship between U.S. manufacturing and China, the report found considerable support for labeling China a currency manipulator and for leveling tariffs on Chinese products. While buyers are resistant to Trump's proposed 30 and 45% tariffs, both buyer and supplier groups voice support for them even at the risk of potentially higher costs for consumer products and industrial inputs. You can download the full report here. Carrots and sticks for U.S. manufacturers. Thus far, Trump's strategy appears to lean more toward punishing manufacturers who deviate from his vision rather than incentivizing them to get on board. But instead of threatening recalcitrant manufacturers with economic penalties, President Trump might do well to take a page from India's playbook. India has been courting Apple's manufacturing for some time, but for political reasons cannot offer special incentives directly to a specific company. However, a recent report by Reuters suggests that India's Information Technology Ministry may have found a way to motivate Apple to establish a manufacturing presence without explicitly showing favoritism. Information Technology Minister Prasad also said a government panel headed by the Cabinet Secretary would now clear investment proposals in the electronic sector above $1 billion instead of them going through multiple government departments. In other words, if a company is willing to make a big enough investment in Indian manufacturing, the government will streamline the process for doing so. This doesn't specifically cater to Apple, but the list of companies able to make billion-dollar investments in manufacturing is a short one indeed. If President Trump truly wants to revitalize American manufacturing, he'd do well to remember the carrot as well as the stick. What do you think the next 4 or 8 years hold in store for American manufacturing? Comment below.